And now from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. And if you have a church Bible, it's on page 1153. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. Let's just take a moment just to allow those words to rest with us. Before I begin to try and expand what I think God wants to say to us today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word written down in Scripture, that it speaks to us, that it challenges us, that it causes us to be more like you. And thank you, Jesus, that you're the living word, showing us how to do this. And so, Father, we pray as we come to your word, both written and lived out in Jesus. Father, we pray that you would teach us all that it means. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thinking about words as I was thinking about the talk today, and randomly I was thinking about, in a beautiful sunny day like today, I was thinking about the word snow, and I was reminded that the word snow is a word in English, and we have other ways of saying that in terms of different types, but in some languages they would use the word snow in way more variety of ways. And so I started to have a look on the internet and to see, actually, there's urban myths. There's people say there's all these words and whether it's true or not. So I started to have a look on the internet and I discovered that the Sami people, who are a tribe who are in right up in the north of Scandinavian countries. They have a number of words for the word snow. Does anyone have any idea how many words they have that we would translate snow? Or anyone want to have a guess? 48? It's higher than that. It's higher than 100. Let me tell you, they have 180 words that we would translate snow. Wow. It also says that related to the whole idea of snow and the trails, the different trails that it creates and all those kind of things, combining all that together, there are 300 words that relate to the idea of snow. That's what happens when you live in a country that is a lot of snow and you need to understand what is going on, that those words and those differentiating between those different things really matter. That it's a tribe that are fishermen and live rurally, and so they need to understand what is going on and how that works out. But we'll come back to that in a minute. We're in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And Sophie beautifully unpacked this whole passage for us last week and just reminded us of that image of the eagle soaring. That when we find that place of living by the Spirit, it's like the eagle that glides. That there is no effort, but it is a natural fruit of who we are. This is not something that we strive to become, but the fruit of the Spirit is a product of who we are in Jesus. His death on the cross made it possible for our hearts to be changed. A heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh. The heart that lived by law becomes a heart that lives in grace, lives by the Spirit. And so as we look at each of these words over the coming weeks, we remember that this is not something to strive towards. It's not something that we have to work hard at. It is who we have become because of Jesus. And so we look at this first fruit, thinking of the image of fruit. When the writers of the New Testament and when Jesus spoke himself, he would use so many images that were visible and easy to remember because they could see them. And so this idea of fruit, the fruit that surrounded these people as they read it, the image of the tree that is producing that fruit, not striving or trying to force this fruit out, but not trying to produce something that is not them. But into that context, Paul describes the different fruits. And the first one we look at today is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And so that brings us back to this idea of words. You see, because for us, we have one word that is love, and we kind of try and define that in different ways, using perhaps slightly different words. But it may be helpful to understand that, that in the Greek language, the word that we translate as love in different sections is one of four words that's used in the Greek language. And those different words give us a different dynamic and a different understanding of love. So the first word that they use for love is philia. Philia. It's a word that I was looking on the definitions. It's a companionable love. It's a friendship love. It's a love that relates between friends and each other. It's a love that is called out of one's heart as a response to the pleasure one takes in a person or object. That connection that is friendship. That is one description that is described of as love. The second one is storge. Storge. And this is a love that it's primarily relates to within a family in terms of with a spouse or with a child. It's a natural movement of the soul for a husband, wife, or child. It's a natural affection or a natural obligation, it says here. But it's that idea that comes, a connection that comes within that context. So we've had friendship, love that is friendship. We've had love that is family and a family bond through a husband, a wife, or a child. The third one is eros, which is erotic, a passionate love. It's the chemistry love that we perhaps talk about, and sometimes is often the one that people jump to when we talk about, you know, in the song, "All We Need Is Love." Sometimes that's the one that people will jump to, and it's certainly the one that is most culturally seen at the fore. That's what people are striving for. And when people kind of talk about that kind of need for love or a need to fill that gap of love, often in our culture today, that's what the media and social media and TV and all those kind of different things will tell us. That's what people are striving for. But again, that is one of four descriptions of love. But to the final description of love, which is actually the word that is used in this passage, both in Galatians, when it talks about love, and in the reading that we had today. And that is agape love. It's a word not used much before New Testament scripture. But it is the word, it is the love that is talked about. It is the love that is absent when people say, "I've got a hole, I'm missing something." Because it's a love that is called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object loved. It is a love of esteem, of evaluation. It is the idea of prizing somebody. It's a love that God gives to us. This is the love that is being talked about here. That we can love that same to others because of the love that God has for us. He prizes us. He thinks we are so wonderfully amazing because he created us. Not corporately as a mass body in a factory that produced the same old, same old. Each one of us is prized by him. Each one of us has been fashioned and molded by him for a particular purpose and a particular way. This is the love that agape love is talking about. And so this scripture, this Galatians fruit of the Spirit, is talking about living that life out, that life of love out with others, recognizing their uniqueness, recognizing their particular form and make and the way that God has made them, whether they know that they are created by God. We look at them and we see each other in light of being created by God. We see each other being prized and special. And so that is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit that we can't force out. We can't strive to achieve. We can't try with all our effort and our might to love that person. It is just something that is who we are. But this reading from Corinthians, it's a passage that actually is talking about in the midst of a conversation that Paul is having about worship and what it looks like for love in the context of a group of people who are worshiping God. But it does remind us and does give us a view of what love looks like. It is patient. It is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others because it recognizes they're created by God. It's not a love that seeks the best for ourselves rather than for others. It's not easily angered. When we know this love, when this love begins to manifest itself in us, it causes us to delight in good and not in evil. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes and always perseveres. And so we can read that and think, well, that's what I should be like. That's what it means for me to love. But just as I was thinking about this passage and thinking about how we display these fruits of love in our lives, it just reminded me that these are the attributes of love that God displays to us too. That he is always patient with us. He is always kind to us, even if we don't recognize that. My son, my oldest son at the moment, it's going to cost me £1 to tell this story. And now it's been recorded as well, he'll know, so it's going to cost me £1. But because that's the agreement in our house. If I talk about my children, they get £1. At the moment, we're having this big wrestle about what he can and cannot do on a computer. And the big one at the moment, if you've got grandchildren who are wrestling through this one, the big one at the moment on the computer is a game called Fortnite, which is a nightmare. it's basically a child-friendly version of those games where you basically run around pretending in the army shooting each other. But they created it for a 12-year-old upwards because there's no blood. So it's okay to shoot other people and kill them as long as there's no blood. It's not a great game, but it is what everybody is watching and playing at the moment. And it's one of these games, if you know technology, it means that you can be sat in your bedroom or in your living room playing it, and you play against 100 other people who are sat in their rooms. So you don't even have to talk to each other, but you can play each other all over the place. And so so this is this game. And so we're having this conversation with him about whether he should be playing it or not. And there's a mixed view on whether it's a good game or not a good game, and there's a mixed view on actually what all of these games are doing to the minds of our children. But having that conversation, but trying to constantly say to that to Matthew, we're having this conversation because we love you. We're trying to work out what it means to honor you, to recognize your God-created person, and allow that to be fostered in your life. And we're trying to work out whether this game is going to help you become the person that God's created you to be. But that's really hard to separate those two things out of saying no to something. But how is that kind? And actually our society, and we've had loads of people, even friends who are Christians who go to church who think we're just bonkers for saying no to playing this game. But we're trying to work out what it means for us as parents to be kind to our children. But that can be the same for us when we're thinking about God. Why don't you let us? Why can't we have? Why can't this look like this? But we need to remember that God is always kind. He is always patient. He always delights in good. He never fails us. And so we reflect that, just like, as I come in to finish, just like as the Spirit comes into our lives and we say yes to Jesus, everything is there. The full fruits of all that is possible, just like the acorn has everything it needs to be the tree that it's going to be. When we say yes to Jesus, we are given everything. But we allow that fruit of love to grow in us. And we recognize that fruit by the attributes that we read in here. That we become people, corporately and individually, who are patient with each other. Who are kind to each other. Who don't dishonor each other, publicly or privately. Sometimes people say the sign of maturity is that we have more knowledge and wisdom and we understand more things. Perhaps maturity is displaying more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, whether we have understanding and knowledge and insight. So let's remember, as we think about love and we think about people being who live by the Spirit, that this is something that God has placed in us, that we can foster and develop and grow this in us. But let's recognize the attributes of that love that is patient, that is kind, that does not envy, that is not proud or boastful, that doesn't dishonor others. So let's just take a moment to ponder those words, to think about what God is saying to you at this moment. And then I'm going to just pray for us. When we say yes to Jesus, we get everything. We get the Holy Spirit. But we can ask for more. We can ask for more of that Holy Spirit in our lives to allow that fruit to grow. We can water that fruit through reading scripture, through worship, through praying together and with each other. This fosters this life of the Spirit. So we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and rest upon us and to fill us afresh, that we might be people who live by the fruit of the Spirit, and particularly today, love. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that because of the cross, we can live a life of the Spirit. And so, as we were reminded last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, of your Spirit coming to fill your people, both to remind them of who they are and to empower them to go. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and fall afresh on each of us now. Help us to live into this life of love. A love that we first received from you. Holy Spirit, come. Amen.